It's rivalry week in the NBA. And while a lot of people don't think the Orlando Magic have any rivals, yeah, I saw you people on Twitter that complained about my jokes. The Magic do have a big rival and have a big game on Friday against the Miami Heat. We're going to dive into the matchup with Locked On Heat's Wes Goldberg. That's right. It's a crossover episode of Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, welcome to a crossover episode of Locked On Heat and Locked On Magic, your daily podcast on both the Heat and the Magic. I'm Wes Goldberg here with the host of Locked On Magic, Philip Rossman Reich, however you might be tuning in, YouTube, Odyssey, podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Heat and Locked On Magic your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, like I said, crossover episode for you all today, talking Heat Magic ahead of tonight's game. First time these teams are playing each other all season long here on a Friday night. So we're going to talk about the keys to the game for both teams and then look ahead to what both teams need to do before the trade deadlines. So we'll get to all that. First, Philip, what's sort of the most interesting thing going on with the Orlando Magic right now?
I mean, honestly, I think the most interesting thing is that this team is starting to come together. I mean, they're super young, obviously, one of the youngest teams in the league, but their starting group of Markelle Fultz, Gary Harris, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter has the second best net rating of any five-man group in the league that has played more than 100 minutes so far this year. So they're a team that's very young. They make mistakes. They have their struggles, but they are starting to kind of piece some things together. And you know, despite what some Celtics broadcasters might say, their record is, I don't think, indicative of how well they're playing or how good they can be. They do have ups and downs. They're young, like I said, but this is a team that's starting to figure some things out and is, you know, kind of on the outskirts of that play-in race, kind of looking in.
How is Jonathan Isaac factoring into all of this?
You know, he's playing 8 to 10 minutes per game right now. I'm not 100% sure he's going to play in Friday's game. I imagine they'll hold him out of back-to-backs. They have a home game Saturday against the Chicago Bulls in Orlando. So I'm not 100% sure he'll play on Friday, but he is already kind of stepping in and making an impact. You know, again, you expect him after the long layoff to have a little rust, but defensively, he's all there. He's still a huge presence defensively, even if he's not all the way back to where he was in 2020. But, you know, he's getting his feet wet and contributing to a team that's, you know, won its last two games now.
I want to talk about the two young guys, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, a little bit more. Let's start with Paolo. This is going to be Heat fans here in Miami, their first opportunity to see him live if they're going to be going to the game, and obviously their first time to watch them play their team if they're watching just on television. But I love Paolo. Everybody loves Paolo. If you're an NBA person, you love Paolo. I don't know that he's in that sweet spot where nobody dislikes Paolo Banchero right now.
Except for DeJounte Murray.
Except for DeJounte Murray. That's right. Talk to me about, maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like Paolo, we know the talent, the size, all of it, right? And the scoring numbers, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, whatever. We know all of this. I feel like something with the Magic has also sort of shifted. They're not winning a ton of games, but they feel like that they're confident. They feel, is that a Paolo thing? Is there sort of like an aura around him? Does he have those leadership qualities? Like, what's going on there?
I mean, I think, I don't want to say it's all a Paolo thing, but it definitely, like, winning the number one pick and getting a guy who is putting up numbers as a rookie that we haven't seen since, like, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, like, the kind of statistics that we're talking about with Paolo Banchero, we're talking about elite level players in the league right now and in history. You know, like, he's doing things as a rookie that the Magic haven't seen since Shaq, which again, Magic history isn't that long, so maybe that isn't that as impressive. But he's doing things that we haven't seen as a rookie since, you know, Blake Griffin had a great rookie year, since LeBron James. Right. You know, like, those are the kind of people and rookie seasons we're comparing Paolo to. So there is definitely something to it that Paolo is kind of the catalyst for changing everything and kind of changing the confidence in the way this team plays. He is someone that this team feels very comfortable giving the ball to and saying, go get us a shot. Go get us to the foul line when we need a basket. You know, he wants to be a good teammate, and he is a good teammate. But it definitely feels like there's a lot of Magic players just trying to say, like, hey, we need you to push us sometimes. We need you to kind of get us going sometimes. And that's a lot to ask of a rookie, of any young player, but especially a rookie. And he has kind of taken to that role and really succeeded in it. You know, you'll see, I'm sure, you know, I'm really interested to see how Miami matches up with him, because I imagine they will put Jimmy Butler on him, and they will put their best defender on him and try and lock him up one-on-one. And frankly, it's been a while since we've seen Paolo Banchero get one-on-one coverage, because every team is just sending double and triple teams his way. Obviously, that size is going to be a huge factor. So maybe you might see Bam Adebayo, but Paolo Banchero is the kind of guy that demands that you put your best defender on him to try and stop him, or he's going to score and pretty much score with ease.
Jimmy Butler is saying today after practice that he is going to play Friday night. He, of course, missed the Celtics game earlier this week. So I think you're right. I think Jimmy Butler is the guy. I don't know. You can't really put Bam on him too much unless they're going to switch a lot. And sometimes the Heat kind of vacillated between switch everything and switch some of the things. But with how much size that the Magic have on the floor, especially kind of having people at that center spot, I don't know that you can really afford to move Bam around. So it's going to be Jimmy. Caleb Martin will probably see some time, even though he's going to be giving up some size in that matchup. But Caleb's always giving up size in almost every matchup. But in terms of where the Miami Heat are, they're 16-6 in their last 22 games coming into this game. They're now outside of the play-in tournament. They're the sixth seed in the East. They're number one in the Southeast Division because it feels like they always are. Even if
someone's got to be,
someone has to be. It feels like if the Heat were like 15-30, they would still be first in the Southeast Division. They're always first in the Southeast Division. They probably just don't update it because they just assume. The Heat are 27-22, five games over 500 for the first time all season. All this stuff basically adding up to like what you said with Orlando. You said like the Magic kind of feels like they're kind of coming together now. You're getting some of your guys back and all this stuff. With the Heat, it's very similar. They're healthier than they've been all season long. It feels like they've figured out sort of how it is that they want to play on both ends of the court after having, you know, losing PJ Tucker and some other guys in the offseason. All right, defensively, they kind of figured it out. Bam Adebayo, defensive player of the year candidate, everything's around him. Offensively, it's just a lot of Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo pick and roll. Jimmy Butler kind of picking his spots, cutting off ball and all that kind of stuff, getting into his post-ups and bully ball stuff every so often. And then everybody else is trying their best to space the floor, even though they haven't been hitting threes all year long. But that's basically where both of these teams are heading into tonight's matchup. So, or Friday night's matchup. So I am really interested to see how these two teams sort of collide. Cause the other part of this too is the Magic always play the Heat really well. And the Heat the Celtics win was a good one. The Celtics were without four of their top six rotation players. I really felt like the last time that the Heat played a really good team, it was in Dallas. And then before that, it was really in Dallas, I guess, was the last one. And they got killed. The Magic aren't as good as Dallas, but they're playing well, like you said, and they're a formidable foe. And they're one that always plays the Heat tough, like I said. So I think Heat fans are a little nervous is sort of what I'm getting at for this one.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, I would say, you know, I think Magic fans are, you know, like you said, there's this confidence about this team, like, and you know, like, look, the Magic are in this kind of sweet spot where there's no external prep, there's no internal pressure to do anything. Like the players are all talking, our goal is to make the playoffs. We want to be in the postseason. By playoffs, I assume they mean the postseason and the play-in tournament and all that. Front office has no expectations for that. You know, the Magic are three games now away from matching last year's win total. I think there are 10 or 11 games ahead of last year's pace. So it already feels like this season's a success. We could see some of the things that this team's going to be when they mature, when they grow up, when they add some depth and some veteran pieces to make them better. And so a lot of this right now feels like the Magic are playing with house money. Like they got Paolo, they got Franz. Those are two stars. Like we said, this Magic team's starting to come together and expect more of themselves. And so, you know, I think this weekend, you know, really this next like five game stretch for the Magic is really interesting. They play Miami, Chicago, back to back. Chicago is a big one, obviously, because just for the standings implications, you can really pick up, you pick up a full game on a team that way. Then they go to Philadelphia for two games, and they get Minnesota and Charlotte on a four game road trip to end a four game road trip. So this is a really interesting stretch to see how this team matures. You know, you say that Orlando has given Miami problems, and I think that's generally true. I would always say Orlando always struggles with Miami and their switching defense.
Yes.
Because they didn't have a guy who could get into the lane and create for himself, you know. Now they have Markel Fultz, who's really good at getting into the paint and finding his spots and his pockets to score or to pass. They have Paolo Banchero, who's, you know, for rookie has just been a machine getting to the foul line. I think he's under 8 free throw attempts per game now, but he spent most of the season above that mark. And then they have Franz Wagner, so they have a lot of guys who can attack those switches a lot better than they did in previous years. And so I think you're right from earlier that Miami's going to have to switch their defenses up to try and confuse the Magic a little bit, because the switching that bugged Orlando a ton, and I think the blowout wins that the Heat had last year, probably not going to work as successfully this time around.
Well, let's talk more about sort of the matchups here, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to get to. We're going to talk about that and some of the keys for this game for both teams here. But first, today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat and Locked On Magic your first listen every day. We are always available on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. Let's talk about some of the matchups there. You're mentioning right before we went to break, Markel Fultz, by the way, Heat fans, he's not the Markel Fultz. Like, he's a good player. Like, yes. He's a starting level point guard. Great story. Love to see it. Love to see that from Markel Fultz. He's found a good rhythm and a good groove in Orlando with the right amount of expectations on him. Like you said, sort of feels like house money. Great ecosystem for Markel Fultz. He has not been playing with house money basically since he was taken number one overall up until this year. That said, the Heat have sort of shifted their offense quite a bit since I think the last time these two teams played. Last year, everything was very much, all right, it's Kyle Lowry, it's Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you know, you get Bam and Tyler Hero and all those guys in certain doses, but it felt like it started and ended with Jimmy and Lowry last year, where this year, Miami's tilted their offense all the way into this Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo two-man game. And their pick-and-roll partnership is one of the most efficient in the NBA this year. And it looks like that. Like, the eye test also bears that out. Like, it is smooth. They have a great chemistry together. You know, you got Bam setting the screen. He'll rescreen when Tyler wants to go the other way. Like, all this, there's a good chemistry that they've built up over the last 4 years. And so I think that's going to be the challenge for Orlando. They have enough paint bodies where they could take that away at the rim, but Bam's also he's leading the NBA in paint points, mostly because he's got that little 11-foot, 10-foot little floater that he's hitting at like a 52% mark over the last month or so. It's crazy what he's doing right now from that range. At the same time, Orlando's got a lot of length, and they could kind of crowd that space a little bit. Now, Bam has gotten much better kind of finding those shots against length, but Orlando just has like a lot and a lot and a lot of length. Like, the last time I think that Bam had to really deal with this was Milwaukee. Obviously, they've got Brooke Lopez. They were without Giannis in that game. And so I was really curious to see what that was going to look like if it was like Giannis and like on that help side plus Brook Lopez sort of defending Bam in that painted area. Instead, it was just Brook, and Bam had his way with him. That's not going to, like, I don't know that the Magic have a defender like Brook Lopez, but they just have a lot of long defenders and a lot of sort of arms that they can use to crowd Bam's space. How do you think that's going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the interesting thing, because, you know, I think the Magic are potentially a really strong defensive team. You know, like, we could see all the defensive talent that they have, but the execution of it has been spotty at best. I mean, their last three games are a great example of this. They gave up 130 points to Washington on Saturday. They come back, give up only 98 to that Boston offense with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the game. Maybe fewer excuses there for the Celtics. They seem to be a team that likes excuses. It's rivalry week. We can poke fun at our rivals here.
Right.
They go from that, and then they give up, you know, and I thought they generally played good defense Wednesday night against Indiana. They gave up 120 points against Indiana. You know, they had to have their second best offensive game of the season to beat the Pacers, you know, fairly comfortably 126-120. So this Magic team can be a little bit Jekyll and Hyde defensively. When they're really locked in defensively, they're pretty good, but getting them to be consistently locked in is the challenge. And like I said, I don't know what Jonathan Isaac's status is going to be. I don't know if the injury report's out at the time of recovering this. Meant to check before the pod, but didn't get to it. So apologies there. But, you know, Isaac's only in for 10 minutes a game. You know, the Magic, their defense is really predicated on their ability to position themselves. And so that pick and roll that you're talking about is going to be really interesting to watch, because they'll have whoever's defending Tyler Hero, they'll have him trail. They'll have Wendell Carter show, and then it'll be up to Paolo Banchero or Franz Wagner to be the low man and cut into the middle and cut off the paint. And so some of those short roles that Bam Adebayo likes might be there. There might be a contest. There might be Paolo Banchero, 6'10" dude in his way as Wendell Carter recovers. They're willing to give up some 3-point attempts. The Magic, I think, are at least entering the week, they're one of the best 3-point defenses in terms of 3-point field goal percentage, but they give up a ton of looks. They give up, I think, the third or fourth most 3-point attempts in the league. So while the percentage is low, the volume is much higher. And so that might be kind of the trade-off that the Magic are willing to take, is like, Miami's not as good of a 3-point shooting team maybe as they've been in the past. They're willing to give up some of those threes and make Adebayo a passer from the paint rather than give up those paint points. But Orlando's paint defense can get ripped apart too. So this is a young team. Young teams are inconsistent. But this Magic team's defense can be touch or go. It can be really dangerous. It can be really deadly. But at times it can also be really porous.
Just checked the injury report while you were talking. And Jonathan Isaac is not on the latest one as of 2:30 on Thursday afternoon. No, I think you're exactly right. Like, they have the bodies and they might be able to do something on that first action, right? Defensively, like, it's Miami is so good at getting to their second and third actions, though. Like, they have really figured out what it is that they want to do offensively. They want to kind of start with that Bam and Tyler thing, two-man game as their initial trigger. But from there, they've got Jimmy Butler sort of wandering the dunker spot. And Bam is such a good playmaker and passer that he's going to find that dump off 9 times out of 10, right? And so that's that second layer. And then Jimmy Butler, like, once he's like 5 feet within the rim, like, good luck. You know, he's going to put an elbow into your chest and he's going to score. And he's probably going to draw a foul. And then the other part too is, like, beyond the dunker spot stuff, they do a good job of moving off ball. They have guys that stand in the corners, but it's more than that too. Like, they've got guards setting screens for guards. They're always sort of, their 3-point shooters are always moving off the ball. And so there's just a lot of layers on offense for Miami beyond just that initial trigger, which is that Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo pick and roll. But you also hit the nail on the head too. It's like, they can do all that fun stuff from 3-point range and move off the ball and it's all pretty and it's all good. And then the shot just clanks off the front of the rim, which has been it's been like the case all season long. So that's sort of been the story with Miami, is like, are those threes going in? Yeah. This team looks like they can win the finals. If they're not, like, they kind of have to figure out other ways to win. To me, the key to this game, the Magic turn the ball over a lot.
Yep, I was about to say that.
And they give up a lot of points in transition because of that. Miami's biggest issue is their half-court offense. They want to use their defense to power their offense. And the Magic kind of just let you do that. And so I think, like, this game is going to come down to how many points do the Heat score in transition.
Yeah, I agree completely. I was actually just about to bring that up I think generally the Magic's half-court offense is fine. I don't think it's like the best in the league or anything, but it's, you know, this team is 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd in defensive rating overall. I would imagine their half court offense is in the teens. Like if they're right. they're fine, but where they get killed is they make a ton of mistakes, and it's turnovers, it's fouls. So when the Magic's defense gets in trouble, you know, as it did frankly Wednesday night against Indiana, which is how you lose a 17 point lead and have to kind of go into a shootout with a team on the second night of back to back at home, you turn the ball over a lot and you foul a lot. And that's you know, I think those are young team mistakes. Like again, yeah, like
for sure.
Terrence Ross is the only player on the Magic who's older than 30, and he's out of the rotation right now that Jonathan Isaac's back. Like the Magic are playing Isaac, they're playing a bunch of other, they're playing Bol Bol, they're playing a couple other players. But this Magic team does get into the bad habit of throwing the ball around a little bit, of trying to do too much, of you know, of being unable to kind of get the offense going, and then they start forcing things. And that's where teams really pounce on them. So, you know, the key, you know, there's usually 3 points that I look for when I'm watching a Magic game to determine whether the Magic did the right things and had a good chance to win. Points in the paint are the first. If the Magic are able to win the points in the paint, their offense is usually working pretty well. If the Magic are winning the free throw battle, that usually means they're playing pretty well. The Magic, I think, are third or fourth in the league in free throw rate this season, which is, you know, a complete reversal of what the last decade has been for the team since Dwight Howard left. Paolo Banchero is like that, has that much kind of fouling gravity. So it's a very real thing. And the third is turnovers and points off turnovers. If the Magic are turning the ball over, they're not getting their defense set. They're, you know, their communication is better. I think they're better in transition than they were, say, a month ago earlier in the season. But if you're giving up a lot of transition points, or a lot of transition opportunities, you're probably losing a lot of games. And so it's something that this team has to reel in. And it's something that this team is fighting for to be more consistent with.
The Magic also have some interesting veterans on the roster. Some decisions maybe to be made before the trade deadline. I know the Heat have been in the rumor mill a lot lately. Kyle Lowry has been out there. Are they going to try to go get a power forward? All this stuff. But I do wonder if the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat might have something to do together. We're going to talk about that next here on our crossover episode of Locked On Heat and Locked On Magic, which is brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for the Locked On Podcast Network because they're the number one sports book in America. It's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. So you place $5 and you're getting $150 in free bets back. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. We mentioned the NFL playoffs, conference championships this weekend. You've got San Francisco in Philadelphia. The Eagles are favored by 2.5 points. Cincinnati in Kansas City. The Chiefs are favored by just 1 point. Don't overthink this, people. If you think that the Niners or the Bengals are going to pull off the upset, just bet on them. Don't worry about the line. They're that close. At least that's my advice. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's do this. Trade deadline, February 9th. What are the Orlando Magic kind of looking to do? They don't strike me as buyers, but they have some interesting players. Terrence Ross, Gary Harris, sort of veterans that maybe playoff contenders might be looking to acquire. Mo Bamba has sort of been out there. What are the Magic looking to do before the deadline, if anything?
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around what the Magic want to do at the deadline too. You know, I think generally, you know, they like the group that they have and they want to see it continue to grow. They're not, you know, like Jeff Waltman, the president of basketball operations for the team, has come out and said, we're not looking for the sugar high of a playoff seeding. Mm-hmm. We're looking to not skip steps in this process and give this team the chance to get better and not, you know, kind of ruffle the boat. Weltman has certainly not been afraid to make deals. He acquired Markelle Fultz at the trade deadline. He got Bol Bol at last year's trade deadline. Obviously, they did the teardown trades in 2021 that kind of reset this whole thing, that kind of reset this whole franchise. So I'm still struggling to kind of get a sense of what the Magic want to do, because I agree with you. I don't think they're going to be aggressive enough to go be a buyer. They're not trying to like save the season. I know I tell my listeners and viewers this all the time. This season is not about this season. Like, right. If the Magic make the play-in, great. That means they accomplished a lot of things they wanted to accomplish. If they don't make the play-in, it's not a reason to panic, because this team has shown tremendous growth, and you're going to see what this team needs to kind of take those next steps. And, you know, I kind of say this too, like the deadline's about buyers and sellers. It's about who has something that another team wants real fast. How do you set yourself up for the offseason? The Magic have a ton of draft picks. They got all their own picks. They got Denver's pick in 2025. They got a Denver first in 2025. They got Chicago's pick in this year's draft if it's not in the top four. They got a ton of second round picks. Do they really need to go out and get another couple picks? Is that really going to help this team? They're already too young. If anything,
right.
The big goal that the Magic should have this season is, you know, to start either consolidating some players, like trading two young players for a veteran player that will fit the rotation, or kind of clearing the way so that other young players can play. Like I personally believe that, you know, they want to play their second round pick, Caleb Houston. He's been played sparingly this year. He's been really effective when he's been in, or fairly effective when he's been in, but there's just no room to play him right now. That they're running a 10, 11 man rotation. They're, you know, Terrence Ross isn't even playing right now with Jonathan Isaac back. So, you know, I think it's hard to get a sense of what the Magic want to do. I always say if the right deal comes along, you listen to it, obviously, but you know, I think the Magic are probably going to be picking around the margins again and do a lot more of their heavy lifting to really prep this team to be a winning playoff caliber team in the offseason.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, the trade deadline's for buyers and sellers. You can also say it's for people that are acting urgently. And like you just explained, like the Magic are not acting with urgency, and they shouldn't. Like there's no need to panic. There's no need to do anything drastic. Like, you've got your two dudes, right? You got Franz Wagner, you got Paolo Banchero. I know that there's been some like, hey, should maybe, are the Magic like a Fred VanVleet destination? Like, I don't know. Like, on paper, it kind of makes sense, but
they got cap room this summer if they want to sign him. Right. If they want to sign him. So why give up anything this year unless you need his bird rights to convince him to be here? Like,
and I'm also like not,
I think I'm not sure that's the right deal anyway.
Yeah. There's still more to see with Fultz, and I'm not going to give up on Jalen Suggs for a long time. I love him. So I think that there's like, all right, there's enough to still see there. Like, there's no reason to sort of make that move. I do think that there's something to be said about Terrence Ross and Gary Harris. Like you said, veteran guys, if the right deal comes along, why not? Add some picks, add some younger players, maybe consolidate, free up some space, you know, for some of the more younger guys to get minutes and stuff like that. In terms of what Miami's looking for, Terrence Ross makes sense for the Heat. I don't know how a deal. He's making $11.5 million expiring. Yeah,
The Magic have worked really hard to just be really financially flexible. Like all their contracts that they've signed have a lot of non-guarantees. Like Jonathan Isaac's contract for next year is completely non-guaranteed. They're going to pick that. They're going to pick that guarantee up. Like that's no loss to them. But the highest paid player on this team has a non-guaranteed deal. Gary Harris signed a 2-year deal. Next year's non-guaranteed. Mo Bamba signed a 2-year deal. Next year's non-guaranteed. You know, I know the Heat are trying to pawn Duncan Robinson on whoever.
I was about to do the for Heat fans. What that means is no, the Magic are not taking
Duncan Robinson. Exactly. I mean, but like, there's a couple other guys I think the Magic could and should be interested in. Like, I would say the biggest immediate need for the Magic, like if the Magic are looking to shore something up for this season, they need a backup center. Because you know, Wendell Carter plays center. Yeah, they could do small ball lineups with Paolo or possibly even Jonathan Isaac at center, but their two backup centers are Mo Bamba and Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner's been more than serviceable. He's been solid, but he's not much of a paint presence. He's a positional defender, but when his positioning's off, he gets in trouble. And, you know, he gives you a little bit offensively, but not a ton. He's a great third center. I think he's done fantastic. And then you have Mo Bamba, who still has all this potential. He has a big game here and there, but his defensive presence and defensive understanding aren't as strong as they should be for someone who's been in the league as long as he has and has the length and block and shot blocking potential as he does. There's a reason why the Magic are openly shopping him. And so, you know, there's a couple of players out there, like Isaiah Hartenstein was a guy that was linked to the Magic in free agency. He just signed, what, a 3-4 year deal?
Yeah.
I think the Magic might be interested in taking him out, off the Knicks' hands because he hasn't really worked out with New York. But at the same time, it's like, you know, do the Magic want to commit 4 years to that kind of a player right now instead of keeping their books wide open for when they're really ready to make a play? And that could be soon.
I know the Heat were interested in Mo Bamba in the offseason. Bamba obviously re-signed $20 million deal for 2 years, $10.3 million this year. He's another one of those kind of guys with the contract, $10.3 million next year, but that's non-guaranteed also. I do wonder if the Heat would circle that wagon again, but it's a tough dollar figure to get back up to. So you could start with like a $5 million Dwayne Dedmon contract, but then what? Like you'd have to throw Caleb Martin into that, and then it's like, all right, you're really going to start – You're going to trade a starter for Mo Bamba, and you just outlined all the issues with Mo Bamba. That doesn't move the needle for Miami. That would be taking a step back, even if you're sort of in on him as in terms of his upside. That's not what you're not going to trade a ready-made starter right now in Caleb Martin for a guy for sort of a gamble.
And look, if you're the Heat, like I don't care what your record is, you believe that's a championship capable team. Like that is the level that the Heat should be thinking and playing at. To make kind of a marginal move or a cost cutting move, that's throwing away a year in your window essentially. I know the reports have kind of been out there. That Butler window feels like it's starting to close a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And that's the other thing. It's like, if you're going to make a move, you're looking to get somebody that's proven that, you know, and look, David Ramil, my co-host, makes this point all the time. And it's a very good one. When you look at what the Heat have done in terms of midseason trades, they're not really taking they're not making the Rui Hachimura deal. You know what I mean? And I like that deal for the Lakers. That's a fine deal for the Lakers, but they don't make that deal. They make the Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder deal like the year before they went into the bubble, right before they went into the bubble run. They go get proven veteran guys that they know can help for a playoff run. Like I said, I think Terrence Ross would be very helpful in Miami. That's the kind of guy that I think would make sense. Gary Harris, ditto for him. Just he'd have no way of getting up to that dollar figure. Now, if one of them gets bought out or something like that, now we're maybe having a conversation, but that'd be about it.
I know like Gary Harris is getting a lot of traction. I am increasingly believing that Gary Harris is not on the table, but like he is doing really good things for the young team. Like Gary Harris and Terrence Ross are the two veterans on the team. There's no way the Magic let both go. And, you know, Ross kind of made it known in the offseason he'd like to play for a contender. He'd like to be playing playoff basketball. He's had a good year. Like he's bounced back this year. He's shown that he can still play at a high level. I think he's been great around these guys. But the Magic have other players. They probably want to. It would not surprise me if the Magic don't trade Terrence Ross, and I don't think they'll get very much for him in the market. If the Magic don't trade Terrence Ross, it would not surprise me if he ends up on the mercenary market after the deadline.
Should be a fun one. Friday night. I'm really excited. I'll be there at the arena. I'm super excited to see Paolo up close. I love it. And Franz, he's by fun. The way. I love he's both.
Franz is also fun. It's a fun team. It's the Magic are in that sweet spot where they're good and where they're good. They're no longer bad and fun. They're okay and fun. Right. So it's a fun place for the fan base. Cause now I'll get arguments from fans who are like, man, Jamal Mosley is just, his rotations are bad. And I'm just like, you do realize we're now arguing about rotations and not about like this, the future of this franchise is completely doomed.
Who cares?
We're in a good spot. We're in a good spot here, guys. Yeah. Slow down. Let's enjoy this moment for a little bit.
Thanks again for making us your first listen. Locked On Heat, Locked On Magic every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat and Locked On Magic on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Philip, this was fun, buddy.
This is fun. Let's do it again in the Eastern Conference Finals.